Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 10th, 2008 Carrboro Board of Aldermen work session. We have a relatively short agenda this evening. I need to be somewhere else at about 8:30, so I apologize if I have to leave before we're done, but we'll leave you in John's capable hands if that should happen. Before we begin, I would like to recognize that we have a couple of special guests here tonight. Ed Kerwin is here, the director of OASA. I assume he's going to be making a presentation in just a few minutes.
Nope. I'm here just to
observe. He's here to observe, but no offense, Ed, but even more special guest, director of our, I believe that's the right title, of our State Division of Water Resources in the Department of Environment, Health, and Natural Resources, Mr. John Morris, a fellow resident of Orange County. Good to see you, John. Thanks for joining us tonight. Mr. Manager.
Okay. At the March 31st, 2008 Assembly of Governments meeting, OASA presented its intent to update the long-term water supply to consider a new intake from Jordan Lake. The purpose of this agenda item is to receive a presentation from the North Carolina Division of Water Resources regarding the allocation of drinking water from Jordan Lake to help inform the town's evaluation of long-term water supply planning. And you've already introduced John, Mr. Mayor, but I'd say it's kind of interesting. Some of you may or may not know that John will be retiring from the department at the end of this fiscal year. I knew it was soon, and I just asked him right before the meeting about it. And it's sort of interesting because my first exposure to John was many years ago in a former life when I was involved in a community seeking the first allocation from Jordan Lake. And perhaps my last official interaction with John will be on the same subject of Jordan Lake in a very different situation. So, John, please come up, and we're awfully glad to have you here tonight.
We're going to have to call him Jordan Lake John.
So is this the right spot here?
It is.
Right. Well, it's a great pleasure to be here with you tonight to talk about Jordan Lake. It's a fascinating project. It has a long history, and I personally lived through most of it. So the origin of Jordan Lake goes back to some disastrous floods in the 1940s that were particularly damaging to Fayetteville. And so the city fathers in Fayetteville began a long effort to get this project authorized by Congress. It's a very difficult thing to do. It takes a long time, but they worked away at it, and so finally they were successful. Construction of the project started in 1967, and about that time, Chapel Hill and Durham sued the Corps of Engineers to prevent them from completing the project. And the primary reason that was stated by Durham and Chapel Hill was that because this impoundment was downstream from their wastewater discharge points, it would force Durham and Chapel Hill to clean up their wastewater to a higher level, because water that goes into an impoundment, you know, is more likely to cause pollution problems than water in a free-flowing river. And, of course, they were right, but they have had to spend a lot of money. But the federal judge who had this case ruled that despite the fact that Durham and Chapel Hill had been discharging wastewater to these streams that flow into Jordan Lake, they did not have any property right to continue doing that under the same terms. And so he rejected their claim, and the lake was completed. Jordan Lake is a multi-purpose project. You know, it involves flood control, water supply. It also has a large amount of water stored that's released downstream to keep an adequate flow in the Cape Fear River. And, of course, it also has extensive lands around the lake which are managed for wildlife and public recreation. So that's the whole package. Water supply is a 100% non-federal cost in a Corps of Engineers project. And so the cost of the water supply element is calculated by the Corps of Engineers, and some non-federal entity has to pay that cost, whereas the flood control cost is 100% federal, and the recreation cost is 50% state, 50% federal. Those are the rules that we go by. So at the time when Jordan Lake was being planned, No local government foresaw the need for water from Jordan Lake. There were no takers, and so this was a problem in that the project really could not go forward as planned unless there was a cost-sharing partner signed up. At that time, the North Carolina Department of Water and Air Resources was headed up by four retired Corps of Engineers colonels, and they understood this kind of project, and they believed that the water supply would be needed in the future. And so probably thanks to their recommendations, Governor Bob Scott signed a contract with the Corps of Engineers to take on the responsibility of repaying this water supply cost. So, you know, then the project proceeded with its construction. After the project was built, the state needed to contract with the Corps of Engineers to make a firm commitment of repaying this water supply cost. And so that touched off a debate in the North Carolina Environmental Management Commission, which is the entity that has the authority to enter this kind of contract with the federal government. Jimmy Wallace, who was a former member of former mayor of Chapel Hill and a town council member of Chapel Hill, was also on the Environmental Management Commission. And so he made the case that the state should not contract for this water. He was concerned about water quality and had other issues. And so there was quite a debate in the Environmental Management Commission, but ultimately they did vote to sign this contract and to take responsibility for the water. So the lake got built and the state got the water rights and has the authority to allocate it. Let's take a look at the this handout that I gave you here. On the second page, there's a schematic diagram of Jordan Lake, and this illustrates the fact that look at the top layer, there's a large amount of space there for floodwater storage, and of course that's supposed to be empty when you're not having a flood. You know, it fills up during a flood and then it's gradually released. And it's extremely effective at reducing flood damages downstream. Then below that is the conservation pool, and about one-third of it is set aside for water supply. That's what we're talking about tonight. The other two-thirds is for releasing an augmented flow downstream in the Cape Fear River, and that provides a tremendous environmental and economic benefit downstream. The all-time low flow of the Cape Fear River at Lillington was 11 cubic feet a second. And with the help of Jordan Lake, we typically maintain a target of 600 cubic feet a second down there. So it's a big benefit for aquatic habitat and water quality. Getting back to the water allocation issue, we've always taken a very conservative approach to allocating water supply. I think it's so inexpensive, you know, it's almost free, and so we felt that it was a smarter thing to cautiously allocate water to people who needed it in the relatively near term and maintain some water unallocated for future needs, since the exact growth pattern of this area is very hard to predict. And so we followed that policy. We've had three rounds of water allocation. Each time when we've done that, we've invited any interested parties to apply for an allocation. We scrutinize their numbers very carefully. Some cases, we second-guess people's estimates of their future demand if we think they're based on per capita use numbers that are too high or population numbers that are too high. So we've had this very cautious, conservative approach. And if you look again at the handout on page 3, this is the current allocation list right now. 63 million gallons a day has been allocated. The estimated yield of the lake is 100 million gallons a day, but it may be quite a bit higher than that. We've recently done a river basin water supply model for the Cape Fear River Basin, which is a very detailed computer model that takes into account essentially all of the withdrawals of water from the Cape Fear Basin, anywhere in the basin, and then the return flow of treated wastewater. And in this recent modeling exercise, we made estimates for water needs 50 years in the future, and we worked closely with industries and local governments to get the best estimates we could. Then we ran the model, and the model has in it all of the historic droughts. You know, we had big droughts in the 30s, in the 50s, in 2002. Doesn't have the 2007 drought in it yet, but it has all the rest of them. And so it was quite interesting to see that despite these large increases in estimated future water use, the water supply pool at Jordan Lake never got below 50% full. And the reason for that is that there's so much water that's returned to the system as treated wastewater. So Jordan, you know, you may have noticed this in 2007, has held up better than many other water supply impoundments. It's very drought resistant. One other issue I'll mention is the water intake issue. Jordan Lake is, again, a multi-purpose project, and so the lands around it are managed for recreation and wildlife management. And you would think it would be very easy to put an intake in the lake almost anywhere you wanted to, but it turns out it's not that easy, because what you're looking for is deep water that's relatively close to shore and some site that won't interfere with boating and other recreational uses. And so there's one intake currently operating on the east side of the lake, just north of Highway 64, that serves all the customers who are now withdrawing water. And we have identified one other intake site on the west side of the lake, just south of Highway 64. And so what we would like to have happen in the long run is that there would only be no more than two intakes, because those sites are the best ones, and there are disadvantages to most of the other sites that have been looked at. So I guess what's going on right now is that there are a number of people interested in either increasing their allocations of water from Jordan Lake or getting new allocations. And we have encouraged those people who are interested to work together and see if they can come up with a cooperative regional plan that would perhaps construct a new western intake. That's one option that looks like it has some economic and regional benefits. But, of course, that's up to the participants to decide how they would like to approach that. So I think I'll stop at that point, and I'd be glad to answer any questions if that's appropriate.
John, thank you for the presentation, and I'm glad you mentioned the role that Jimmy Wallace played in the debate and issues surrounding Jordan Lake. When I was first elected to the Chapel Hill Town Council, I was elected to Jimmy's seat as he retired from the town council, and he died only shortly thereafter. Anyway, I try to live up to some big shoes in when it comes to being involved in water supply planning for our community and state. To what extent does the Division of Water Resources, I guess what are the criteria that you use in the decision making process about who gets an allocation from Jordan Lake, and who establishes what those criteria are?
Well, those are established by an administrative rule that was adopted under the authority of the statute that gives the Environmental Management Commission authority to allocate the water. And so the main factors we look at are, we carefully look at the demand for water in any applicant. And as I mentioned before, we scrutinize those very carefully. We don't take the numbers that people send us for granted. And so we expect people to plan to use water in a very efficient way, to have a reasonable per capita use amount, you know, nothing excessive. And then once we're satisfied on the demand side, we look at the other existing supplies that applicant may have, and also other alternative supplies. And so what we're really looking for is efficient use of the water, non-wasteful, and we're looking at the environmental impacts in terms of, you know, the applicant must have a reasonable plan for wastewater disposal that would result from Jordan Lake use. If there's an interbasin transfer involved, that's another regulatory process that has to be gone through. So, and I guess we also look at regional cooperation as a factor, you know, to see if people are working together in a way that reduces overall cost and provides extra drought resistance and security through potential water sharing arrangements.
I guess, you know, I see this the future allocations that Division of Water Resources will make as being a really significant opportunity for the state government to go, I think, potentially for a good bit further than they have in the past in trying to tell local governments or tell our local utilities what it expects as far what the state expects as far as conservation and efficiency measures, and to really I mean, it seems to me that we don't I guess what's currently allocated is a total of 63 million gallons per day, and we think the total that can be allocated is 100. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've only got left to allocate whatever, about 37% of the usable portion of the lake for this purpose. I mean, it's actually a pretty small portion of the lake, but you've got many other uses that you're putting the water to. It just seems to me that there is no realistic possibility that I'm aware of any water resource remotely like Jordan Lake in the future. There are no other big lakes planned for, well, to my knowledge, anywhere in North Carolina, but certainly nowhere near here.
Nothing that big is on the horizon, as far as I know.
I really think that the state ought to go probably a lot further than it has in the past, or than any of us have thought about in the past, given that, you know, that next 37 million gallons per day is, you know, something like all we've got. you just explained that it took about 50 years to build Jordan Lake, and we haven't even begun to look at what would be involved in some other lake beyond this one. And of course, it's not clear that from an environmental perspective that we really would even want another lake like Jordan Lake after this one. So I think that issue of conservation has got to be, and efficiency measures, and not just in terms of I think it's great that you all look at what is the per capita consumption that people are using in their projections when they're requesting water, but it seems to me that we could go beyond that and look at what kind of land use policies different communities have decided upon, and what kind of rate structures different communities have decided upon. You know, what are those sort of structural things that local governments have within their control? What steps have they taken to try and use the water as wisely as possible? And the other thing that this board has discussed a little bit is that it would really make sense to us if at some point in the future one of the criteria that determined whether an applicant would get an allocation would be the question of what steps that applicant has taken to attempt to protect the quality of Jordan Lake water. You know, that in other words, some of our local governments have gone much further than others, quite frankly, in trying to, above and beyond anything mandated by the state or the federal government, to try and protect the quality of water in our local streams, that which also, of course, flow into Jordan Lake. And it seems to me that those who have shown a lot of respect for Jordan Lake ought to be the ones who have the sort of first crack at having access to that water. As in, basically, mostly, not so much to reward those of us who are doing a good job, but to create an incentive for other local governments that could be doing more to take similar steps to protect the quality of the water in our streams and in Jordan Lake. So that's just a couple thoughts I want to share with you.
If I could just make a couple of comments there, too. All of the, you know, these issues you've raised about the need for more emphasis on water use efficiency, water conservation measures that can be brought on when need be, and rate structures that create incentives for water conservation. These are all statewide issues, you know, that we're dealing with all over North Carolina. And I've really seen a change in the last few years in terms of the way the public is looking at these issues. The governor, Governor Easley, has submitted a package of legislation to the General Assembly that has a lot of things in there about better rate structures, incentives for local governments to have better rate structures, potential administrative rules that would have tighter water conservation rules in them, and a number of other things along that line. And this morning I was at a meeting of the State Water Infrastructure Commission, which is a body that has been created by the General Assembly to take a long-range look at the water and sewer infrastructure of North Carolina. And a lot of the discussion today centered on the need for greater water use efficiency and finding ways that we could create incentives or requirements, you know, that we would move further in that direction. So I think the whole state is moving in that direction, primarily because we've had two pretty serious droughts recently that have gotten people's attention, and second, because we're aware of how much growth is still occurring in North Carolina. So I think the whole state is moving in the direction that you're talking about.
With respect to, I don't mean to hog the microphone if y'all want to jump in here, but with respect to this issue of the western intake on the lake, I think you mentioned there are two alternative sites that would be possible out there. And as I understand it, one of those is owned by Owassa, and the other is owned or leased or something by Chatham County. Is that right?
Well, actually, there's one intake that exists right now that was built by Carrie and Apex on the east side of the lake. And there's one other site that's available. And by an intake site, I mean a place right on the water, you know, where an intake could be built. Owassa, sometimes ago, in a very far-sighted move, purchased some land near the second intake site, which could be used for a water treatment plant. It's not on the water, and so it would not be the site for the actual intake, but it could be used for a water treatment plant associated with that intake.
What is the this is one key piece of information that I've been trying to understand, and I'm glad for the opportunity to ask you, because you don't necessarily have an agenda in all of this quite the way that some of the folk, you know, everybody's kind of jockeying for position in some way or another. What is the significance of building a water treatment plant at Jordan Lake as opposed to drawing water out of Jordan Lake and piping untreated water to existing treatment plants in various places around the triangle?
Well, I think it's primarily an economic and regional planning decision. You know, and in some cases it might work better to put the treatment plant near the lake. In some cases, you would want to just pipe the raw water to other existing treatment plants. So what we're encouraging the communities who are interested to do is just to think about how they would like to have that happen and to work out a plan that they would then come to the Environmental Management Commission to recommend. So it really the local governments who are interested in getting water need to make their own decisions that are based on economic analysis and regional planning considerations.
I have a question. Actually, close with what Mark was saying. So, John, on page 3, the chart, so that means that all of the allocation holders that are listed are all drawing to get the 63 million gallons daily. They're drawing from the east side site. Is that correct? Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask...
The 55.
Pardon?
The first column is the east side site, right?
I thought the 63.
No, because the 63 hasn't been taken yet.
Well, not all of those allocations are actually being drawn.
Right, right.
So it's neither of those numbers.
Right. But potentially could be.
But so to the extent that any of that is being drawn, it's being drawn
exactly,
from the Cary Apex site.
Then the other thing I wanted to ask, and I heard about this not too long ago. Actually, we were in the middle of our drought when I heard this story. It was an NPR story about the municipality in, I believe it was Georgia, that developed a reverse osmosis technology so that the wastewater that they were generating was reversely osmosed and reused so that they were self-perpetuating, self-generating without, you know, recharging to themselves and reusing. You know, has any of that technology been looked at in North Carolina, either in small municipalities or, you know, for larger regional planning?
Well, the only case I know in North Carolina of using reverse osmosis is down at the coast where some counties treat brackish groundwater and convert that into drinking water. That's very successful. There are a lot of, you know, constantly there are advances being made in wastewater treatment. And I know another experiment that's being tried, not an experiment, but a project in Georgia involves having wastewater flow through a series of artificial wetlands. And it has a long residence time there. And after completing the trek through that long path of wetlands, it becomes good, suitable for treating for reuse. Let me just mention one other consideration that the EMC will give a lot of attention to. You know, we're all part of the Triangle area, which is partly in the Neuse River Basin and partly in the Cape Fear River Basin. And the whole Triangle area is growing, and, you know, there's a lot of increase in water use being projected. And so one thing the EMC is going to have to look at is the whole big picture. And so, for example, Durham had tentatively some time ago been planning to raise the dam at Lake Mickey to get more water. And, you know, of course, the one problem with that is that that's in the very upper end of the Neuse River Basin where the yield of a larger reservoir would not be that great anyway. And then second, you know, that's more, you know, stopping water that's never going to get to Falls Lake where we had a, had a really serious problem. During the 2007 drought. So maybe it would be a better idea for Durham to get water from Jordan Lake, which is already there, instead of taking more water out of the Neuse Basin where we know that we're already short of water. That's an example of a kind of a regional concept that people will be thinking about. And of course, you know, the EMC will take a really careful look at this whole regional picture, you know, once some group of local governments makes an application.
But you see, if let's just play out that scenario. If that's the case, if the recommendation is made for Durham to draw from Jordan, I certainly would want to see, as Mark pointed out, that the, you know, the applicants in some way be rated on their efforts for efficiency and conservation, because I know Durham waited an awfully long time to put the brakes on and start conserving. And because I work in Durham, I was keenly aware on a daily basis of how close to the edge they were willing to go, knowing Orange County was not willing to do the same. So that's
well,
my two cents.
As I mentioned earlier, that there was, I think in general, local governments did a good job during the 2007 drought. There's been some concern about people, a small number of communities maybe who were a little slow to get going on conservation, and some very, very diverse approaches to conservation. And so one of the parts of the governor's legislative proposals that are before the General Assembly right now is to have more uniform and tighter water conservation standards that that all local governments would follow during certain drought conditions. So, again, that's a statewide issue that's being addressed.
And the other piece of that, too, is, you know, for example, what happens with the Jordan Lake rules and the fertilizers and the, you know, the other nutrients that are going and, you know, having more of a more stringent monitoring.
John, are you going to be making the same presentation at Chapel Hill?
I haven't been invited.
Okay, so this is something you're doing with us.
They better hurry or I'll be out of there. But
when is your retirement date?
June 30. All right, yeah. But we have a lot of backup, and we have other people that can go through the same exercise.
We wanted the guy here with all the answers.
Absolutely, John. Is it known to the wider world who will be succeeding you as director of the Division of Water Resource?
Not yet.
Okay,
but it will be soon, I think.
Okay, all right. Cool.
I really believe that the Division of Water Resources is in the best shape it's ever been in, and we have some very able people in the department that I expect to take over that, and they'll do a terrific job.
Great.
And because all of our section heads are still there, we have a lot of continuity on this issue.
Before you depart, Ed, could I invite you to come up for just a second and address this same general question that I was asking earlier about what is the possible significance of a water treatment plant being located on the Owassa property down at Jordan Lake? And is that, from your point of view, would that be a desirable component of the future system or not?
For Owassa, we don't think that's something that's needed. And I also aware that there's not a decision by, I think, the primary stakeholders in the next allocation will be the City of Durham and Chatham County. They both expressed a need for additional allocation. They've also expressed a commitment to work together to achieve that end. And in the scope of those discussions, I've heard City of Durham officials say one of their water plants is nearing the end of its useful life, and perhaps it makes more sense, rather than upgrading or replacing that plant in the city, to, as part of a regional intake on the west side of the lake, actually do water treatment at that location and then pump treated water to the City of Durham and other users. So it's an option which is really just hasn't been evaluated in any detail by potential partners that I'm aware of.
I guess obviously somebody will have to take a look at whether it makes more sense financially for Durham to rebuild their existing plant or whatever, but that's not the issue that I was trying to get at. The issue I'm trying to understand is what is the significance to of such a treatment plant in Chatham County or at the Jordan Lake site. What kind of implications could that possibly hold for us as Owassa customers? In the sense that, I mean, I guess one of the possibilities that is contemplated in this process is that this western intake would be the way that, should we ever need to, we would access our 5 million gallons or some portion of our 5 million gallons per day. But I guess what I'm saying is, so how would we actually, if that actually happened, how would we actually get that water, and would it be treated or untreated when it arrived in Owassa's hands?
There's no decision on this, but I think it's likely we would be purchasing treated water from the City of Durham, where there's already existing infrastructure between their system and our system.
Because otherwise we would need to have an untreated water pipeline that would connect.
Which is enormously expensive.
Could be very long. And,
right.
Yeah. So it would make more sense just in terms of pipe costs, if nothing else, to route it through the Durham system to come to us in terms of whatever access we might ever have to that 5 million.
Right. But if the City of Durham takes the raw water from Jordan Lake and pumps it to a renovated water plant in the city or a new water plant, you know, near the shores of Jordan Lake, you know, either way, I think we'd still be getting...
Either way, we're buying
treated
water.
That's right. We're buying treated drinking water.
And how would... I guess one of the things this may be an ill-informed concern on my part, but one of the things that concerns me is that I don't, as an Owassa customer, I don't really want to start paying for, paying anything more than we are now for access to Jordan Lake water unless and until we actually get to the point where we really, we're actually drawing it, where we actually need it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Based on what we know today, we still don't think we need a Jordan Lake supply to meet growth. However, we think keeping that option open as a backup or contingency, you know, two severe record-breaking droughts in a five-year period, the uncertainty of climate change, you know, these things, you know, concern us. So we want to maintain our insurance policy, and if we can access that insurance policy through a regional approach very cost-effectively, I think that's an option we want to keep open. But, yeah, we have no immediate plans to start spending, you know, millions of dollars to put that in place. As I said, a lot of that infrastructure with our interconnects with the city of Durham exists today. So perhaps at little cost, we could have the benefit of accessing our allocation.
Right. And I guess what I'm trying to say is what I don't want to hear is, well, you know, we're going to end up pulling 40 million gallons per day at some point way down the road out of Jordan Lake through the western intake. And Owasa, you have up to 5 million gallons of that, so you're, you know, whatever that works out to, 12.5% of the entire thing. So it's going to cost $100 million, so we want you to cough up 12.5% of $100 million, when in fact, you know, we shouldn't start to have to pay anything, or we do pay a tiny bit right now, but we shouldn't have to pay anything until, you know, unless and until we kind of get to that point.
Yeah, I understand your point.
I'd like to follow up on that more specifically, which is whether the discussions you all are having regionally and the discussions that have taken place among the Owasa board is the frame of reference for Owasa accessing this 5 million gallon allocation, or is it for Owasa accessing an emergency allocation in the case of a severe drought?
Well, it's not even that specific yet. I mean, it's so early in these discussions. And as I said, you know, we don't think, based on what we know today, that we need that as part of what I'd call meeting, you know, normal or planned growth from you in the town of Chapel Hill. But, you know, we also were paying quite a bit of attention in the last drought and how it was affecting our supply. And so while our supply, perhaps compared to some of our neighbors, did quite well, we were still facing a pretty serious situation. And like I said, with the uncertainty about what climate change may do to our water resources in the future, you know, we want to keep that option open. But we think that option represents more as a backup or contingency rather than, you know, something we need day in, day out. In fact, the Owasa Board in 2005 adopted a stated goal to maximize our local resources, you know, to stress conservation and work hard to avoid the need to go to Jordan Lake as part of our regular supply.
So this letter that was in our packet dated March 20th, so this is an older letter. You're familiar with this one?
Yeah, that was prepared in advance of the Assembly of Governments meeting.
Right, and it's signed by Mr. Kabrick. Did he write that, or did you write that for his signature?
We worked on it together.
Okay, because what concerned me in this was under the discussion where it says it is impractical for Owasa alone to develop facilities at Jordan Lake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, sort of setting up the argument that, well, a partnership is needed, whereas based on what you were just saying, that, you know, my thinking would be that Owasa would not want to participate in developing facilities at all if we can avoid it, that we would want to have access to an emergency supply through, as you laid out a moment ago, through Durham's facilities as they already exist and as, you know, we have in the past transferred water back and forth when necessary, but just as now we don't participate in Durham's water infrastructure or vice versa, and to look at the Jordan Lake as this Durham, Chatham, perhaps Pittsburgh or whatever, whoever needs that collaboration, that we might be able to help them, whether it's through our property down there or through some part of our allocation, if that would be helpful to them, to secure that emergency access. So I guess I want to lay out that concern to you in terms of how this is worded and see if I was kind of misconstruing what the thinking was going into this or what your response might be.
Our bottom line objective is to participate in these discussions so we have an idea of what terms and conditions might be required of us to access our supply, even if it's only for emergency purposes. And then once we're equipped with that information, along with our revisit of our longer-term water supply plan, considering alternatives like expanded use of reclaimed water, greater conservation, alternative supplies, although, as you've heard earlier, alternative supplies really are quite limited. Even technology like reverse osmosis is very energy intensive, something we're trying to, you know, avoid. So it's going to equip us with the knowledge, and then with that knowledge, the WASA board can discuss and consider options. And I know the WASA board, before making a decision, will have the benefit of your feedback, the town of Chapel Hill and Orange County as well.
Okay. Another point I want to make sure you were aware of that you could pass on to your board is after the Assembly of Governments meeting, I spoke with Mayor Foy about this idea of revisiting the two towns' growth plans and specifically our zoning in terms of the expected density and number of residents going down the road. And he agreed, at least, you know, on his, you know, from his own sense of it. I don't think they've discussed this at the council, but he agreed that it was worth talking about that as part of this discussion of how we're going to meet that goal of, as it's put in this letter, maximizing the use of our local highly protected water sources. So I want to make sure that, you know, that's understood on your end and within the OWASA board, that that's a discussion we want to have time to undertake, you know, also before any decisions are made in regard to the Jordan Lake, whatever the options might be.
Ed, in your view, are Durham and Chatham pursuing this also along the same lines of being an insurance policy, or is it also immediate need, soon to be need, or a combination of both?
I understand that they will have daily need for Jordan Lake water in the future. I think they're both, you know, 10 years out, although it's going to take probably at least that long to put something in place. But, you know, I don't speak for them, but I understand that they have a daily need to withdraw water from Jordan Lake in the future. You know, they each have an allocation now, and they're going to be seeking to expand that allocation, I believe.
Ed, is OWASA the only agency that purchases land around the lake? Or do any of the other jurisdictions also own land around the lake?
I don't know if any others do own the land or land near that intake site. You know, we do, as John mentioned, we do own land adjacent to core property, very near what's known to be an ideal location for a western intake. But we don't have any exclusive right in that land. And we heard Mark and I in one of the meetings with intergovernmental meetings that Chatham County officials said that they would have access to Bell's landing site through a lease arrangement where they could locate a pump station or a pump station in a water treatment plant should that be necessary. So, you know, we don't have any type of exclusive right.
What the chairman of the Chatham County Commission said was basically that it's possible for them to do it with another way, through this leased property and working with the Army Corps of Engineers. But we gathered that from what he said that it didn't seem as ideal, didn't seem as good of an option, and that there would be a certain amount of negotiating with the Army Corps of Engineers that would be involved in order to make that work. And I have never negotiated with the Army Corps of Engineers, but I have heard that it's not the easiest thing to do.
You mean it's harder to deal with?
I'm not going to make invidious comparisons, but so
yeah, that's consistent with my understanding.
I want to throw one last thing into this, which is that I don't know whether the town of Pittsboro is participating in these discussions at this stage, but I hope that they will. the Pittsboro water intake is on the Haw River rather than in Jordan Lake, but it is really the primary reason that there's still a low overhead damming up a part of Jordan Lake, the former Bynum Mill Dam. And it's the primary, you know, that is the primary obstacle to one day removing that dam. And I think it's important that this system work in a way that provides the opportunity at some point eventually for Pittsboro to participate in that, in getting its water from Jordan Lake rather than from the Haw River, so that the portion of the Haw River from Saxpaw all the way to Jordan Lake mm-hmm. could be returned to a free-flowing state.
Mm-hmm. And I have heard staff from both Durham and Chatham County express an interest in making sure they are invited to participate in these discussions.
Okay.
Did Ed, and I don't remember this, and I don't know whether John needs to answer this, but the Harris Lake, does that pull it all from Jordan Lake, or is it unto itself?
I don't know.
Harris Lake is a separate impoundment owned by Progress Energy for cooling purposes for their power plant.
So it doesn't receive any recharge from Jordan Lake at all?
No, it's on a tributary to the Cape Fear River downstream from Jordan Lake.
Okay.
Ed, thanks.
You're welcome.
Have a seat.
Ed, thank you.
Yeah, I have a question for the attorney. And Mike, you may not be able to answer this right off, or perhaps you can. It came up during discussions in March and also surrounding the drought that the OWASA initial agreement kind of guaranteed university to be able to use whatever supply of water it could procure and pipe it through OWASA pipes. And the concern that arises is that when we talk about this idea of our locally controlled high-quality supply of water, that if we got to the point where the university needed to exceed that, then it's not like there's some special pipe just going to the university, that whatever that water is, whether it's from Jordan Lake or elsewhere, is going to mix with the rest of what's in our system. And in asking this, and this, in a way, it's a minor concern because the university is being the leader right now in reclaimed water and whatnot, but I guess, are you familiar enough with that document to comment on whether that's an unalterable and binding stipulation forever, or is it in some sense negotiable when that's done or how that's done or that sort of thing?
I would have to, I'd have to take a look at that document that was signed back in 74, which is way past my memory. So,
right.
I know I've since, of course, looked at it on various occasions, but I would have to go back and look at it and see. I don't remember the kind of provision being in it that you're referring to, but it doesn't mean it's not there. So
This came up during the drought when the university was concerned about having the water it needed during the spring for its playing fields, and that if it couldn't get that water from OWASA, it was asserted that they had the right to get it from other sources and piped in. Ed, were you from a part of that discussion? Right. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, if that's something you could take a look at.
I'll take a look at it. Sarah, can you give me...
Thank you. And Mark, the other thing I want to raise was it seemed to me that just kind of the timing might be right for you or one of us to have a conversation with our OWASA reps, Braxton and William, and just to be clarified to them that the desire of this board is that the Jordan Lake discussion focus strictly on emergency access and that all long-term, day-to-day regular water consumption planning be based on our own water resources. And, I imagine they have some sense of that, but if we can agree to a motion to do that and convey that to them, and I think a discussion would be helpful. I think that would be timely.
All right.
So I guess I'll
take
that motion.
A motion.
Second.
It's been seconded by Alderman Herrera. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. So I will both write them a letter and meet with them about that topic.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. And John, thank you for coming over here to meet with us and let us know about this.
Well, I really enjoyed being with you.
We have we appreciate your coming and also your many years of service.
Absolutely. You were definitely
there in 1991 when I was first became aware of the Division of Water Resources, and probably for a few years before that. So we appreciate
28 years with the division.
Wow. All right. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. On to agenda item number two, a discussion of a fertilizer surcharge.
At May 20th meeting, the board received a staff report on the requirements for year three of the town's NPDES stormwater permit and expressed an interest in considering a surcharge on fertilizer sales. The purpose of this agenda item is to provide an opportunity for further discussion by the board. And though this says a presentation, we actually don't have one. There was a brief abstract in your agenda packet that shared some information about the fact that this has been discussed in some other arenas, but it's my understanding, and Mike can correct me, as of right now, the town has no authority on its own to initiate any sort of a sales tax on fertilizer or whatever. So this would be a, really an initial conversation to see how we might pursue it if it's something the board would like to pursue.
Yes, I would like to ask Alderman Jackie, who was the one who brought this, requested this item to be put in the agenda.
I'm aware that this is one of the tilting at windmills kinds of things that start in Carver. But very often the tilting at windmills, oh my God, how could you possibly think of that kind of ideas that start in places like Carborough and Chapel Hill and other places become the norm. So I'd like to see us somehow come up with a way of advocating for this. It's a very, I think, conservative idea in that you should pay for what you get. And if people are, if people's usage of these products is causing the town to have to spend more money on mitigating the use of this, or causing the larger community to have to spend more money, then part of what people should be buying is that mitigation. It just seems like a responsible thing. I know that this happens in other states. So I don't know how we get there, but it's not something that I'm willing to just kind of put aside. And you know, I think it belongs on our legislative agenda. I think perhaps we should write letters to all of our, and we should write a joint letter from this board to our very environmentally concerned legislative delegation and say that this is something that, that we're interested in pursuing, that, that the people who are causing the problem should pay some money towards fixing the problem. Seems a very logical, conservative stance.
So you're suggesting this would be on next year's legislative agenda?
Well, actually, what I'd like us to do is to send a letter to our representative saying that this is something that, that we're interested in pursuing, and kind of put it out there on the radar screen, because our legislative breakfast won't be till next spring.
Right.
Well, but it needs enabling legislation.
Well, right. this would not be something eligible for the short session, and I'm not suggesting not going ahead and notify them, but I don't.
I don't think
this would fit.
What I want to do is start a public conversation, and I want this to be something that people are seriously talking about and considering, and that happens in small steps. First you get the, oh, what a stupid idea coming out of Carville, and then 15 years from now, it's what the norm is. So I want to start that long process. And part of starting that long process is for this board to send a letter to our legislative delegation, even to our congressional delegation, and say, we think this is a good idea, and we'd like you all to be considering it, too.
But I think it is a good idea. I suggest we wait until after the session ends when it might actually get some of their attention.
Okay, that's fine. I just don't want it lost.
Yeah. Would you mind us direct that to staff to do it? Would you take a first step?
Well, I'd like for this to be put on our agenda when we reconvene in August. I'd like staff to make sure that it is on the agenda sometime in early fall, so we can begin thinking about how we're going to push it forward. Okay.
Steve, I have a question. The town code amendment, which I'm sure I just don't remember when we discussed it, where did the 5-acre number come from for that 5 acres or more for certification and nutrient management?
Then I'll look to Roy or Mike or Randy.
5 acres. The 5-acre requirement comes out of the draft Jordan Lake rules that have been that are being considered now.
And is your feeling that that's a good number, like that applying to 1 acre or 2 acres is? I mean, to me, 1 acre seems like a lot because I live on a postage stamp. But you know, so my question is, you know, is an acre or 2 acres or 2.5 acres? I'm just wondering where the threshold, not for Jordan Lake, but for us. Should be.
You could have 31-acre lots right next to each other.
Yeah, that's right, with the same.
Right.
Probably with more.
So the impact.
Well, we haven't done a study. I can't say specifically what how many lots it would apply to if it were at different threshold levels. I just don't have those numbers handy. I have a sense from the state that 5 acres is seen as a fairly robust number, and if they were to look at towns like Carrboro, you know, it very well might be something smaller. What I can say that we have looked at is we've looked at, well, what land will this apply to that the town has control over? And I think our sense for that is it's probably only going to apply to the one or two recreational fields under the land that we're working with. And I am intending for us to look at more broadly at what other properties would apply for 5 acres, and we can certainly look at different.
This would cover the school sites, presumably.
School sites, possibly some large apartment complexes. We're currently not applying any fertilizer to the right of way along Highway 54, the median strip. Mm-hmm. That was one we thought might be applicable, but it's not. Our practices aren't to apply fertilizer there. So,
okay. Is it possible for, since we're going to have the other piece of this item coming back in the fall, is it possible to get a more thought out? I mean, do you feel like you could comfortably, in that time, offer an opinion on the viability of using a lower threshold and whether that would serve, a benefit without too much burden on.
Well, we could certainly do an analysis of parcel sizes and land use, and you know how many. If we were to break it down into alternative sizes, who that would affect? That would be very easy to do.
Okay, Steve, does that sound reasonable to you? Okay. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy. Okay, I'm going to keep pushing this.
Do we need to check? Do you want to get the environmental advisory board involved in this?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Not yet. Well, I mean, there's no reason not to.
So if you want to keep building the case, then the long term.
But I don't feel like I have anything solid to refer to them at the moment, so I'd rather wait until. And people are going to be starting breaks in the summer, so
okay.
We will eventually.
Based on what Randy will come forth through the report,
good.
Before we adjourn, can I raise another item? We had in our packet the letters, and I was glad we got copied on these for several people who are being removed from advisory boards for non-attendance. And you know, I think that process is fine of checking with the chairs, and the chairs, you know, have to have the opportunity to waive the removal. But I'd be interested in also having the board liaison in that loop, so whichever of us is the liaison also knows that these people are pending removal before the action is actually taken, so that, for example, let's say it's someone on ESC that I'm liaison to, that, you know, that if I wanted to talk to that person, if I felt that was a particularly valuable member, I'd have the opportunity to do so, or for any of us. And I guess I wanted to see how everyone felt about that and whether that's something we need to fold into our discussion of advisory boards, or if it's something simple enough we could just agree and ask Sarah in the future to let us know, to let the liaison know before sending the letter out.
Well, and with the Greenway Commission, you know, it's a fairly young commission, only starting up this past.
Yeah, I'm not referring to this specific.
But I think, you know, Jackie and I were talking about the fact that, you know, the timing for it and the scheduling really threw off several people because of the way it was decided upon. So
people said straight out, I'm not going to be able to make it, but I want to stay on.
For Greenway Commission anyway, we were discussing the fact that we really need to go back and review how we went about scheduling to begin with.
Okay, but that wasn't my question.
I know, but so, I just wanted to
throw
it out there because that was in the packet.
But do you have any thought about what I'm suggesting?
Well, yeah, I think it's important for us to look at it in regard to the advisory boards in general.
Okay. I mean, are people comfortable doing that tonight by motion? Sarah, is that okay with you to have that extra? Okay. All right. Well, I'll make that a motion then that before sending the removal letter that Sarah would contact the liaison.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Randy. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Are there any other items people want to bring before staff? You get it cleared? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Randy. Those in favor say aye.
Thanks, John. Good job.
Thank you. That was short.
I want to thank staff.